Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Baseball, America's game.
One of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Lynch, it makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home.
Is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.
The difference between an agent and a realtor is real. Realtors have the expertise to find exactly what you need and the ethics to do the right thing, even when it's the harder thing. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
You're listening to the Fly the W podcast. This is season one of the podcast with Crawley and myself, Dustin Rhodes. This is episode 9. We are calling this one Ships That Pass in the Night. And we were fortunate to talk to one of my favorite, if not my absolute favorite, Cubs beat reporter, who now has added a lot of multimedia to his claim and to his fame. Gordon Whitmire sat down with Crawley.
My next guest on Fly the W, one of my favorite writers and all-around good guy, Gordon Whitmire. Gordon, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you? It's a long season, isn't it?
Well, after losing to the Pirates 12-1, you just got to keep asking yourselves, how many times can we say, oh, I'll throw this one in the garbage? I mean, pretty soon the garbage starts to get full, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we're throwing the season in the garbage now. If we're talking about trying to win anything or accomplish anything team-wise on the field, I mean, it's all about individuals, right? Jed said that last week, that it's kind of shifted into this youth mode. He's trying to say, yeah, you know, you kind of play dual tracks on that, but it's not dual tracks anymore. Let's be honest. Look at the rotation. Look who's in the rotation, man. Right.
And that's part of my question. You know, you were around for the first rebuild with Theo. Why do you think they were so apprehensive to call it a rebuild? Does that just mean that they're admitting failure, that idea that they originally had that, you know, we were going to do this rebuild once and from there it's not going to happen again? Or why do you think they just weren't straight up honest with what was happening?
I think there's two things that make this one different than last one, even in the messaging and the narrative. And that's when they came in last time, they could piss all over the previous regime, which they did. And you had Theo Epstein come in with built-in credentials and credibility. Hell, we saw T-shirts that said, "In Theo we trust," when they were losing 100 games. So you had this long honeymoon period that was sort of built in just by hiring Theo. And even though he came in and had less resources than he thought initially and kind of had to take a slightly different tack than he originally had planned, it was still Theo. And you had multiple years where people were going to trust that and still kind of pay attention, like be riveted by what's Theo going to do with our ball club after what we saw him do in Boston. And that and the fact that they got some very high-profile prospects fairly quickly, gave you something to watch and to look forward to and track and believe in. He could say whatever he wanted. He could be honest about it, which he basically was. And this time around, they've broken the promise of a foundation for sustained success. Because of the pandemic and ownership's decision on how to handle that, they blew up the roster and started slashing payroll. And that meant that you were going to have to start over with your roster. And they don't have Chris Bryant in the farm system right now, or any of those handful of other guys that they had back then that were top 10 rated type guys. And this isn't Theo. That might be the biggest thing of all, right? This is Jed. Jed's a fine baseball man. He's Theo's right-hand man for years and years and years. He knows what he's doing as much as the next guy, but he's not Theo. And he also can't message like Theo can. Theo might be the best sports executive on the planet when it comes to that. I mean, that might not be hyperbole. Jed's not. Jed's a regular guy. He's just a regular smart guy who's doing his best. So, I mean, put all that stuff together, and it's really hard to admit to fans and get them to swallow that this is happening all over again with a lot less profile and credentials involved.
Yeah, I mean, I remember for years going to Cubs convention, and we would have different events with Theo speaking, and he could just like – he was like the Pied Piper, man. Whatever he said, it just sounded right, even if maybe it wasn't. And we all went along. You're talking about, you know, now starting to focus on individual players and player development. And I'm hoping, I don't know if anyone in the world can answer this. You saw it with Clint Frazier, and now Nelson Velasquez is up, yet every day Jason Hayward is in the lineup. And it's getting to the point where I would say even the most calm and rational Cub fans, because there are a few that exist, are starting to get irritated and frustrated. Do you think this is David Ross's decision? Do you think Jed's telling them? I mean, what in God's green earth is going on here?
It's definitely collaborative. I mean, neither one's doing what the other one doesn't want in this regard. Look, I think really it's as simple as you've got – Clint Frazier, I think, was a decision independent, right? I mean, they're not trying to win at this point. This season is not about winning. It's not about putting your best team on the field. It's about a whole bunch of individual stories. It's about whatever you do put on a field that day. Yeah, you know, you're going to try to coach them up and try to win. The staff is still in it to try to win games and the whole thing. But broadly speaking, and in a macro sense, as it relates to this season, it's about, you know, giving Chris Morel as long a run as you can in center until he proves he can't do it. As long a run as you can in the leadoff spot until he proves he can't do it. Nelson Velasquez, I don't know that they believe he's ready to play every day. So let's get his feet wet. Let's see what let's give him opportunities where we think he can succeed. And then when he does, if he starts to put something together, now maybe he gets a chance like Morel does. Maybe. In the meantime, what are you going to do with Hayward, right? They don't want to just whack him and eat the money. And as Jed said, and there is truth to this. Some of this is narrative and some of this is just flat fact. There are things he does for you in the clubhouse. And the guy has never stopped playing hard. He's never stopped working hard. He's never stopped being a pro in a clubhouse and a guy that is willing to talk with young guys if they're around, willing to sort of pay it forward like the Chipper Joneses of the world did when he came in. So there is a value there. Now, I also think that there's this other side of that coin. They're playing him a lot every day. If he doesn't perform, I think there's a really good chance he might be gone by the end of the season. Now, the August 2nd trade deadline is going to come into play. We'll see who they even have left. And then you play what you have. And you know, so maybe he lasts the season. But you give him what you can. Maybe he gets on a run for a month and you can package him in a trade. And if not, then you make your decision in the offseason. But you're not doing yourself any favors by having him on the roster and not playing him. And you have enough playing time there to give him. And as I said, Clint Frazier, he wasn't doing anything for you. His swing was a friggin' mess. And he went to Iowa and got worse when he went on that rehab assignment. So he's still in the organization. He still has a chance to get right, and maybe he's up by the end of the year, and maybe Hayward's not.
One of the things that, you know, I've just been concerned about, especially the last season and a half where we are right now, Kyle Hendricks just, you know, he seems to just really struggle all of a sudden. And you wrote an article about whether he's going to be on the next Cubs winning team. You know, give us some insight. Do you have any idea of what may be going on with Kyle right now? I mean, is it that shoulder they talked about? Is it just age? I mean, where are we at with Kyle Hendricks?
He says it's not. He says he's 100% healthy. I don't want to doubt a guy or call a guy hurt or anything like that. If he says he's healthy to me. And, you know, he shows signs. He gets outs here and there, and he's got command. He's just getting hit. So I believe he's healthy. You know, I also believe that for years now, he's not a guy that had overpowering stuff. He's a guy that knows how to pitch. And I think he still knows how to pitch, but he wasn't going to have a lot of margin to work with if he ever began a decline. And maybe this is part of it. Maybe he's got to figure out a way to adjust. You know, I don't know what he's, you know, he's thrown his curveball more in recent years. I don't know if that's an answer. Apparently it's not, at least in the short term. I don't know.
In your article about Hendricks, you know, he kind of seemed resigned to the fate that the direction this team's going and how tough it's kind of got to be that, you know, all his teammates pretty much are gone except for Hayward and Contreras, and Contreras looks like the next one out. He seems to be kind of just, you know, more shocked last time it happened, but this time it just kind of seems like he's accepting of what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the impression I got from Hendricks. Everybody in there knows what's going to happen, and they have for quite a while. And you look at guys like all these one-year contract guys. David Robertson knows he's getting traded. He doesn't want to talk about it, but he's definitely in the last week or two come over to that idea even more. You know, Contreras has known since the season started that he was going to be gone. Hayward knows how to read the room, and Hendricks certainly knows. But like Hendricks said, yeah, last year, I mean, they were in first place at this time last year, or flirting with first place. And even though they knew that, like, you know, Yu Darvish got sold out from under him and Kyle Schwarber got non-tendered, and they still were there because they still had that core, and a couple of them were having decent seasons, and having that group together that kind of trusted each other and had won before, I think, and they felt they had something to prove. It was also a massive distraction knowing that they were all short timers. And then they got traded. And then the 20-hour period at the deadline where the three of them went in boom, 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 and Rizzo went first. That was the shock, Hendricks said. And you have Rizzo getting emotional. I mean, Rizzo was already there when Hendricks debuted. Rizzo took on the entire Reds dugout the day Hendricks debuted. He was the man. And now it's all gone. Who the hell knows what's next? Who the hell knows how long it's going to take? And Hendricks is pretty damn sure that he's not going to be around like the rest of us are when it happens.
You know, you mentioned Rizzo being the heart and soul of the team, and unfortunately we got to see him in Yankee pinstripes, and you had a really good interview with him, and he kind of talked about, you know, just how shocking that was and how disappointing, I guess, it was that, you know, the Cubs right now are in a situation where, you know, they're trying to not finish in last place as a major market team. So what was Rizzo kind of, you know, really, really talking to you about when it came to his feelings about the Cubs and everything that happened on the Blue Friday massacre?
Well, if you're talking about in New York, there were a few of us talking to him, and the subject of whether the Cubs should ever go through something like this came up, whether the Cubs should be more like the Yankees. And he said, yeah, I mean, they should. And he's right. I've written that I don't know how many times. But you see the Dodgers and the Yankees and even the Red Sox, for that matter, they don't do this, right? They keep cores intact. Now, you know, the Dodgers didn't keep Seager, and the Red Sox traded Betts. Those strategic single player moves happen in over the process as those teams try to continue to win and, by the way, continue to spend the money that they make being top revenue teams in the game. This one doesn't do that. And Rizzo dealt with that firsthand in a bitter way at the end in his mind. And, you know, you can debate whether the Cubs lowballed him or whether that was a fair offer. He certainly would have got more years if he'd assigned the contract, more security. Whatever he does here with the Yankees in the next 2 years, who knows? Maybe he does better for another 3 years after that. Who knows? But the fact that the Cubs just sort of financially punted because of hard times during a pandemic and then decided that all that culture that they talked about, all that continuity that they talked about, and the foundations for sustained success really didn't matter in the face of, you know, profit and loss. Maybe that's just the reality of the world we live in, but other teams aren't approaching things that way. And so I agree with him. And when you look at the Cardinals, for instance, and that's another great example, Wainwright's still there. Molina's still there. Now, those guys are Molina definitely is getting overpaid, but he means a lot in that clubhouse and in that organization of those guys. And he's got continuity going back, two championships. So that's culture, right? And the Cubs, Theo and Jed talked about the Cardinals from the moment they came in, about how they've had this continuity and built these expectations in these winning ways and what all goes into that. That's part of what goes into it. Like it or not, hey, it's not great business, but it might be pretty damn good baseball business. If the culture thing matters to you, and I've always thought culture is an overstated a concept in sports anyway, but the Cardinals make it work. And continuity, maybe more than culture, does matter if the continuity comes from a strong place.
And that's the frustrating thing, is especially with Rizzo, is that it comes, you know, it would have cost you money, but right now the Cubs are about, what, like 15th in payroll? I mean, you have money. It's not like, if all of a sudden they got rid of Rizzo and they signed Correa and they signed a bunch of, you know, top free agents, then I could say, oh, you know, they're, you know, didn't have money for Rizzo. It wasn't in the budget.
I agree with you. Yeah. And it's one thing to say, okay, what's the computer spit out? And here's what the guy's worth as a baseball player. We're not going to pay it. He's not going to take less than what he wants. See you later, Riz. But this is a guy who, if you're not winning this year, you have plenty of money in the budget this year. He could be a bridge piece. He could be the guy you choose. And I've got other opinions on this that involve other players, but he was the face of this group. He was the first one that stuck the last time around. And he's got a wealth of information to share with the young generation coming up about what this process is like at this point and how quickly it can turn in a good way and what you have to do to get there. So do those things matter? I mean, we can debate that. We should go get a couple of beers and debate that. If they matter and they've given lip service to that mattering, then he maybe is worth the money to have that guy in your clubhouse, even if you're not going to win, even if he's not that baseball player. Kind of in the way that Yachty, you know, Yachty's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, take the comparison for what it's worth. But, you know, your Wainwrights, your Yachty's, you know, they kept Matt Holliday around a long time.
They even brought Pujols back.
Exactly. They brought Pujols. Exactly. And so, you know, instead what you've got a couple holdovers. That's fine. And Contreras has kind of stepped up into a role like that with some of the young players. And Hendricks certainly does that with the young pitchers, and Hayward has always done that with players in there. So you have some of that presence, but it's going to be gone really fast. I mean, Hayward and Hendricks both one more year and Contreras out this year. So it doesn't look like they're doing anything with that continuity. And let me throw this at you too, Crowley, because I've thought about this a long time. We talked about those three guys that got traded last year. Chris Bryant was probably the most talented hitter of the bunch of them. He's probably the best hitter of the three of them. You were never going to sign him. And maybe you didn't want to. And I see that. That's fine. I never advocated for signing him because I knew it was a lost cause. It wasn't going to happen anyway. One of the things the other two guys had, and I know what their numbers look like, especially the one. One of the things the other two guys had that I'm not even sure Bryant has, as talented as he has, as he is, they had an extra gear of fearlessness on the field. You know, sometimes maybe Rizzo ate too much pizza and pasta off the field, right? But when it or maybe didn't take enough batting practice for some people. But you put him on the field, and he's on every play. He's adjusting every at bat. He's getting the most out of his abilities in that game. And you know, just remember 2019 down the stretch against the Cardinals when he was supposed to be out maybe for the rest of the season with that ankle thing, comes back in what, 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, limps out there, hits a home run in his first at bat, I think it was. Now he really struggled after that with that ankle, but I mean, that how many people do that? And who's more fearless on a baseball field than Javi Baez? And we know what he does defensively for you at an elite level at an important position. So there's maybe reasons to have considered those guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, for a lot of Cub fans, we knew they weren't going to re-sign all three of those big guys, right? And then let's put Contreras in there. But it really feels like, okay, you thought one of the four would be extended. One of the four was going to stick around, you know, and we had these arguments over beers at bars. Well, I'd keep Bryant. Well, I'd keep Bryant. I'd keep Contreras. It's just shocking that the way that it looks, and it drives me nuts on Twitter because I see people say extend Contreras. Wilson is about to be a free agent and he's having a monster year. Why would he sign a extension unless the Cubs were going to blow him away, which we know they're not going to.
I don't even think they have to blow him away. I think if they gave him like the real Muto money is the benchmark, right? What do you get? 5 and 115. That wouldn't break your bank. And you say, well, he's a 30-year-old catcher. Yeah, but he doesn't have to play 140 games behind the plate. There's a DH. And look what happens when you take him out from behind the plate a few more times over the course of a month. So he's got a bat too. I mean, he's got one of the better bats in the league too. And you've got a DH now. I don't see any reason why this guy can't age well as an offensive performer. And so maybe you groom his replacement behind the plate and you gradually make that transition over the course of a 5-year contract. There's no reason he can't produce through his age 35 season.
So you think 5 years, 115 would get it done?
I think less than 115 would get it done, but certainly 5 years. Now, 5 years would get it done. 4 might. I mean, what if you did? What if you wanted less years? What if you gave him 4 in 100? Do you think he'd take it? Now that's 25 a year. That's a lot, but that's about what the luxury tax threshold went up by.
Correct.
So, I mean, you could look at it since the luxury tax threshold is the Ricketts' payroll cap. You could look at that as free money compared to the last CBA. You know, I don't know. You can look at it any number of ways, but it doesn't break you. And do you want this player? He is really friggin' good.
I take a look at what Wilson does. He can hit. He has a great arm behind the plate. The framing is kind of the one knock that he gets, but is about to go the way of the dodo with the robot umpires coming in or the automated strike zone. So, you know, you talked about the DH.
And by the way, the last guy in Chicago that got paid for framing, how good is he at that?
Right. I just have a hard time understanding then why. Is there something more that we're missing? Why doesn't – right now you can see that season ticket holders are frustrated, fans are frustrated. Why not – you know, it's not throwing a cookie because this guy is obviously producing. It's not just signing a guy to sign a guy. It's a guy that has a strong connection in the clubhouse, has become that leader, especially for some of the young Latino players. What on God's green earth is holding Jed back from offering that extension then? Because Wilson's saying he's heard nothing.
I can't figure out how much of this is directly ownership influence. It certainly was coming out of 2020 and all the way through last year. Now they're in a position where I think Jed has choices that he can make. You know, I think Seiya Suzuki was one of those. Stroman, in a different way, was one of those, because I don't think anybody reasonably thinks that he's supposed to be part of the next great run of success for the Cubs. As a bridge guy, as a possible trade piece, as a guy that might opt out after next year and maybe helps in the meantime. But I think he does have these choices. And if he wanted to make Wilson one of them, I think he could. Now, you know, is there something else going on behind the scenes? Is there something they don't like about Wilson personally? That might be the case. And maybe Rossi has something that he doesn't like about Wilson's personality. I don't know what it is, because everything I've seen, this guy on and off the field, he's a genuine guy. Crawley, you go to a lot of games. You see when the cameras are down, how he interacts with people, how he interacts with fans, how he interacts with clubhouse guys, regular people. I know he's a good person with a good heart from everything that I've seen. And I assume anything that they could have seen. Is there something else there? I don't know. I don't know what it would be. That's the only thing that I can think of that would prevent you from doing this, unless you're just so obsessed with, you know, regression models or something like that, and your computer just tells you this, and you're gonna run with it. I think that's if that's how you're operating, and that's where you're putting not just priorities but all of your decision making, I don't think that's great policy.
Well, Gordon, I appreciate you hopping on. I agree with you 100% on that. And where can listeners find, read, listen to you? You do a lot of great work.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, you can go on NBC Sports Chicago. Our podcasts are on there. All my stories. I got a new column, newly branded column that I've been doing for the last 3 months, Press Box Wag. got another one coming out later on today. On that one. So NBC Sports Chicago.
I got to tell you, Gordon, my favorite tweet of all time was you, Darvish, finding the press box wag. That one still makes me literally laugh out loud.
That was so hilarious. I saw him down there taking my picture of me taking his picture. And then I had no idea what he's going to do. I thought he was just messing with me. And then I see him, it shows up on Twitter. It was awesome. He's the best. I love him too.
Yeah, it's great. And we really appreciate everything you do to kind of, you know, hold people accountable. And that's something that we enjoy. You know, those of us that grew up in the Harry Caray era of just demanding more and hoping for more. So appreciate everything you do, Gordon.
Dude, you can see my hat here. I'm from Seattle. I grew up with the Mariners long before Lou Piniella got there. And I'm a baseball fan at heart. I didn't grow up with the Cubs, but I always thought, wow, what if my team had money? Now, back then, you know, what if my team, you know, wasn't always crying poor? What could they do? And so I get here and I see this team and I know how much money they're making. I get angry for the fans. I mean, Carl, you know, I have talked, man. I would be friggin' pissed if I was paying these ticket prices and watching what's going on. Maybe that's why I seem pissed all the time.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, Gordon. We appreciate your time, and we'll have you back on again in the future. All right?
All right, man. Anytime. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.